Hello, everybody. God bless you. Great to be with you tonight. You know, I've been trying to get into this gig for years, and they've been keeping me back at the door. They say you're too old, and eventually I had to bribe Pastor Patrick to get me in. And it's just a great joy to be in here tonight. And the presence of the Lord is here. Amen. You know, you are so privileged to be in such a great gathering here in Times Square Church, and to be able to worship with such freedom. So much privilege around us, great musicians, great testimonies, great preachers. But I come from a country where, you know, when I grew up back in 1976, I became a Christian. That's probably before some of you were even born. And, you know, when I became a Christian, there was very, very few Christians in the entire country. I came from a very Catholic family, one of 10 children. And, you know, it was a good home. My mom and dad, there was plenty of love there. But as we say, it was pretty sparky marriage as well. Typical Irish home. My dad would always go to the pub before he came home every evening, have a couple of pints. And that was the sort of home, you know, he smoked, he cursed. Man, he invented words. And I remember way back in the 70s, you know, growing up, and I wasn't too aware of God. I mean, I'm 11 years old. I mean, come on, God was, you know, I wasn't even aware of girls at the time. I was still playing with guns and holsters, you know. But I remember something dynamic happened in my home, and my mom and dad got incredibly born again. My uncle had went to Australia, and he got saved, came back, and he shared the gospel. And the most incredible thing happened in my home. Now, you can imagine, to an 11-year-old, you don't know much about doctrines and theologies and religion. It doesn't really kind of cross your mind at that age. But I remember seeing an incredible change in my mom and dad. It was incredible. It was like, my dad, you know, he's a great guy. He always was a great guy. But then he had a mouth like a sewer. You understand? I mean, he just cursed. That's just the way it was. And I remember that stopping. My dad used to smoke 70 cigarettes a day. I remember that stopped. You know, the harmony and peace that came into our home. And very quickly, I began to switch on that there must be something after happening in our home. You know, I'm a little bit slow at 11. And I began to switch on that this is something real. This wasn't a passing thing in my mom and dad. Now, my country at the time was 98% Catholic. And so when my mom and dad became Christians, we were a major minority in the country. And back in those times, there was an awful lot of discrimination. If you weren't a Catholic in our community, you know, we didn't have kind of a big racist divide. We didn't have black and white. It was 98% Catholic, 98% white. So it fell down, the discrimination lines fell down on what religion you were. And if any of you know any of the history of Ireland, it's always been that way for hundreds of years. Catholics and Protestants fighting and killing each other and bombing each other. You might have heard of the IRA who had a terrorist campaign to bomb the British out of the north of Ireland. And so it always came down on religion. And when my mom and dad got saved, it put me in a very awkward place because, you know, I was going to mass for time. I was just doing the normal things. And now all of a sudden, my parents had become Christians. And there was like a big X on my back in the society that I lived in. You know, the school I went to was a Catholic school. And when they heard that my parents had become Christians, the atmosphere turned very sour against our family. It was a very scary time. I remember my own father, he had his business and people wouldn't buy off him or sell to him. He lost his entire business. I remember my uncles and aunts backed away from our family. You know, after a few years, I didn't even know what my uncles looked like. They denounced us. They left us. They felt that we had gone into a weird religion. And, you know, so the backlash of becoming a Christian was very, very severe. In actual fact, you didn't become a Christian unless you meant it, because it meant certain persecution. Without any doubt, you become a Christian back in 1976 in Ireland, you were going to get it between the eyes. And I got it between the eyes. I remember giving my heart to Jesus Christ. I remember feeling the power of God in my life changing me. And I'm 11 years of age. And I want to share with you a little message tonight, and the title of my message is, What About You? Or What Are You About? You know, I go to different countries and you've got different greetings. You know, I've learned some of the greetings over here from, you know, young Americans, yo man, what's happening? Where's your bin, man? What's up, dude? Hey, dog. But in Ireland, we say, what about you? Can you say it with me? What about you? So what it means is, what are you about? So in Ireland, we go, hey, man, what about you? What are you about? And there's an incredible scripture here in Luke's gospel. I'll read you a few verses, and just stay with me for a few minutes. And it's verse 42 of chapter 2 in Luke's gospel. And it says, and when he was 12 years old, he went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposing him to have been in the company, they went the day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? I'm 11 years of age. I'm getting born again. I'm in a society that is completely turned against me. My family don't talk to us anymore. Our relatives, our next door neighbors don't talk to us. I'm going to a school that's 100% Catholic. And they were the days of corporal punishment. None of you understand what that means, but they were the days when you stepped out of line, you got it across the hand or the buddy or whatever, you know. But they, you know, and when I did anything wrong, man, I got it worse than everybody else. See, the Bible says those who seek to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. See, before you became a Christian, you should have read the small print. You know, some of you probably just responded because you love Jesus, but you know, Jesus, you know, you have to count the costs a little bit. Because it's not all rosy in the garden and wrapped in cotton wool. Our life as a Christian, it's not a difficult life, it's an impossible life. Unless the Holy Spirit comes into you. And so I'm 11 years of age, and I'm feeling the pressure of being different. I mean, I'm different. Everybody's talking about my family. In actual fact, the main newspaper of the city did a centerfold page of my family. I'm telling you, this is like something out of way down south Alabama. You know what I mean? Where, you know, this is funky sort of behavior here. And I'm 11 years of age. There's an X on my back, but I know God exists. I see Him change my mom and dad. No doubt about it, the peace, the joy, the happiness in our home. He changed my life, even at 11. It's not that I was out there, you know, drinking and carousing and shooting up drugs at 11 years of age. I think probably the worst thing I ever did in my life up to that time was throw a snowball at a truck. And I got caught for doing it. But anyway, but I knew I needed Christ in my life. But now I'm in this environment and there's persecution upon me. And I didn't realize that as a Christian, there's a power attached to it that I can tap into. You know, you may not realize that now. You may think that it's just all about an emotional walk. You give your heart to Jesus, but you have to figure it out yourself. I want to tell you, there's nothing further from the truth. And I remember at 11 and a half years of age, our pastor, there was about 10 people in the church. He had this idea of doing this healing service. Can you imagine we're 10 people in the church? We're going to do a healing service. We're going to take an auditorium as big as Times Square Church. We're going to invite all the people into the city to come in. And we're going to say, Jesus can heal your body. And, you know, I go along like a good Christian to it. But I remember that first night of that healing convention, there was places packed. I couldn't believe it, you know, because people were sick back then. In Ireland, back in the 70s, I don't know if anybody ever read books like Angela's Ashes, but things like tuberculosis, you know, sickness was very common. It's a very damp climate. And lots of people came in for healing. And I remember sitting on the front row because we had this preacher come over. And he had this great anointing that God used him in healing people. He was a great man of God. And I remember sitting there in the front row. And I saw this woman coming up the center aisle. And she's between these two guys. And they're carrying her. And she's like this. She's about 26, 27 years of age. Blonde, pretty girl. She's walking up. But they're holding her. And I'm saying, man, she must be something major on with this girl, you know. But little did I know, she was actually demon possessed. And the preacher's up here and he's praying. And all of a sudden, he throws the two guys off like this. She starts to scream. This scream, I'm telling you, I could get... The gooch flesh came up in my neck. I never heard anything like it in my life. I'm sitting in the front row and she starts to run. for real. And as she came towards the preacher, he's an old man, he's in his 70s, and said, man, she's going to kill him. And he turns around, and he just says, in the name of Jesus. And just as she's here, she fell down on the ground, onto the ground. And now, she's about 6 feet away from me. I'm peeing my pants there, you know. And she begins to slide up the auditorium on her belly. I'm telling you, I've never seen such a manifestation in my life. She slid out, at the end, the ushers caught her, and she's throwing them here, and she's throwing them there. She's a slight girl, but she's taking on these big dudes, and she's full of demons. But Annie, the story is that I went home that night, and I was terrified. Here I am, a young Christian, don't know very much, I'm being persecuted in society, I don't realize that there's power in the name of Jesus. So I'm back home, and for the next 3 weeks, I couldn't sleep. I slept in my sister's room. I used to pull the covers over my head. I had a little peephole for the oxygen. The sweat would be pouring off me. There was demons under the bed. There was demons in the closet. I was terrified. I was crying every night. You know, but I didn't realize my mom was the same. My mom had the light on in her room. You know, she tells me later on, of course, they're all brave about it. But I remember getting baptized in the Holy Spirit about a month later. In the service, I started praying, the Holy Spirit came on, we started speaking tongues, and this great assurance came into me, and you know, I eventually kind of got over my spookiness of the demonic, until about 5 weeks after that, I'm sitting in a prayer meeting. And I'm sitting in this prayer meeting, and there's about 8 people in the prayer meeting, and in comes this big guy, about 6'2", big gorilla of a guy comes in. He's like a street guy, and he's a bit smelly, and he's alcohol on him. And he sits right behind me, and I get the EBGs off this guy. I'm kind of going, oh man, what's this weirdo? My dad's across the room, and the pastor's here, and we're all kind of spread out praying. It was the first time I said, oh, bad strategy. For now, I'm going to sit with an adult in prayer. And I'm sitting there, I'm 11 and a half years of age, and I hear behind my back, yeah, this grunting, this demonic voice, you know. And I'm there, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm crossing my legs a little bit. I don't want to have a mess in the church. But something came into me. And some conviction came over me that there's power in the name of Jesus. And I remember standing up from my seat and turning around, and I'm shaking. And I say, in the name of Jesus, come out of you. And this guy jumped up off his seat, ran out the door, ran down the stairs. Never saw him again. But I tell you, I knew one thing, there was power in the name of Jesus. See, the demons flee at the name of Jesus. And here is a story of Jesus when he was 12 years of age. And he goes to the temple with his parents. And you just read the text, but he goes missing. They're heading home and they think that he's with them, but he's not. He's back at the temple and he's ministering and he's in the presence of God. And they miss him. And 3 days later, they find Jesus. And he's amazing. He's astonishing the scribes and the Pharisees with his wisdom and his understanding. See, the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, let nobody despise your youth. I want to tell you now, I started preaching in the streets at 12 years old. I mean, we didn't even have a microphone. We'd stand in a beer keg outside a pub and we'd start preaching the gospel. I preached with my dad. I saw some sights that I could write a book on some of the things. They're amazing stories of how God preserved us. But here is Jesus and he's in the temple. And his parents come and his mom comes to him. She said, son, I'm astonished. And I began to think, how many parents tonight in America are astonished because their kids are in church for 3 days? Most of the time, parents are astonished because their kids come to them and say, mom, I'm an alcoholic. I'm astonished you're an alcoholic. Mom, I'm pregnant. I'm astonished. Mom, I'm gay. I'm astonished. I'm a drug addict. I'm astonished. I was at a conference last year and a young man came up to me, 17 years of age, from a Christian home. And he's in the prayer line and he makes his way forward and I look at him and he's got these big pools of eyes looking at me. I know he's very disturbed in himself. He looked very ashamed. I said, what do you want me to pray for? And he mumbled something. I couldn't understand him. And I said, what did you say? He said, I'm a pervert. I was astonished. But he was. Pornography had got a hold of him. He said it was driving him morning, noon, and night watching pornography. I said, your parents know? He said, no, they don't. Can you imagine when they did find out? They were astonished. And here's Jesus. He's astonished his parents for all the right reasons. Not for all the wrong reasons. And he said, do you not know I must be about my Father's business? He knew what he was about, you see. Even at 12 years old, he knew what he was about. Now, there's people in this room tonight, you're a lot older than 12, and you still don't know what you're about. You're astonishing people for all the wrong reasons. Oh, we can lift up hands, we can play the religious game because mom and dad want us to go to church. We can play all these sort of games, but behind the scenes, there's a story in your life that, would I'm telling you, if your mama knew what was going on in your mind, half the time she'd disown you. Do I hear amen? What about you? Have you ever felt a sensation coming over you where you asked yourself the question, why was I born? What is life all about? Where am I going? Why was I born white? Why was I born black? Why was I born in the United States? Why wasn't I born in Pakistan? And this uncertainty comes upon you, but you kind of cast it to one side. You just put it off because it's too unnerving, it's too unsettling to you. See, God has put eternity into your heart, the Bible says. God puts eternity into the heart of man. You know that there's something far greater than just you in this world. And I want to challenge you. The unsureness of your future. Your purpose in the great grandeur of this life. Where do you fit in? In this great big world, what are you about? That's a thought that haunts so many young people. But I want to tell you, you can know tonight what you're about. Maybe you've been living a double life. Maybe you're not even a Christian. And you can't even help the way you behave because you're driven by your senses. And when people uncover what you're really like, they're astonished, they're amazed. Oh, I'm in a gang. Oh, I did this, I did that. I'm the big man, I take drugs. I go to clubs, or whatever it may be. Maybe you astonish your friends with all your brave talk. But I want to ask you, have you ever considered being about your Father's business? Instead of about your own business that leads you to darkness and leads you to despair and leads you into that circle that just goes down and down and down until it makes you a little different than the animal. And Jesus pointed, the greatest life to live is to live a life about his Father's business. And I've lived this life from the age of 11 and a half for Jesus Christ. There has never been a time in my life where I want to do anything other than that. And I can tell you tonight that it is the greatest life any man or any woman can ever live. But it's impossible to live it unless you've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And God wants to confer on you the ability for you to shine, not when the band are playing, not when the worship is good, not when there's such a great group around you. I'm telling you, I was in a church, a small church, 8 or 10 people. I was the only guy there. There wasn't even another girl. I thought, oh man, this is terrible. I'm going to be celibate the rest of my life. I'm never going to get to do it. You know, that's the truth. Jesus will come back before there's a girl saved. I mean, I didn't have another Christian friend. The next Christian friend I had was over 300 miles away, the other end of this country. But I had a friend in Jesus. See, I got about the Father's business. I got onto the streets, even at 12 years of age. I got chased by drunks and winos. We had some fun times. We had some. There were some chaotic times. We were so radical, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. We did every sort of prank going to get people saved. But I'm telling you, I got so consumed about the Father's business that God provided for me the joy and the peace that passes understanding. And I understand what Jesus means now by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else gets added to you as well. Because I died to what I thought my life should be, and I was living the life for Christ. And I want to challenge every Christian young person here tonight. Don't just give your heart to Jesus, give your life to him. See, this is the deal. You give him an old, worn out life that's got no prospects any for most of us, and he gives you his eternal life and his phenomenal power to live above excellent all the time. This is what's in store for you. It's not just about by the skin of your teeth or by your nails you enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm telling you, God wants to bring you in with many riches and many rewards. Amen? He wants you to be able to stand before him on that great day where he's going to give you a crown because of their service for him, but you're going to take it off and lay it at his feet. You're not going to go into eternity full of regrets and thinking, I only wish I'd given Christ more. I want to challenge you tonight. Give him everything now. Trust him now with everything. Don't lean in your own understanding. I know what I'm talking about. I've lived it from 12 years of age. But I want to challenge, is there one here tonight, even one, that says, I want to live like this. I want to be about my Father's business. Everything else goes on hold. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and his power. I want to know the power in the name of Jesus. I want to be able to tread on every demon. I want to be able to walk into situations when my words don't fall to the ground, that I know the word of God. When I speak, people listen. Amen. I don't want to be regarded just as a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old or a 16-year-old. I want to be known as a man of God. I want to astonish people for the right reasons. Hallelujah. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to astonish New York City. He wants you to astonish your friends. See, in Ireland, if you don't drink, they think you're a bit loco. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, you don't drink, you don't do drugs. I mean, like, it's like, can't compute. It just doesn't register. I tell you, man, I live a life without these things. And I say, praise God. Viva la défense. Amen. Will you stand with me tonight? Because I believe there's people here. You need to do a little bit of repenting. Because you've been astonishing for all the wrong reasons. You've been house angel, street devil too long. And God wants you to turn around. I'm going to invite you to come to an altar tonight to get your life right. You come right now, we're not going to grease the pole, we're not going to get the music on. I'm inviting you to come tonight and get your life right with Jesus Christ. Come up here. Leave your seat. Be the brave one. Don't be waiting for the other person. This is where the rubber hits the road. Ain't nobody going to be with you on Monday morning. You're on your own. You need Jesus Christ with you. Ain't no gang around you. Ain't no bunch of people holding your hand. No you pastors there. No mommy, no daddy to hold you. But Jesus Christ said, I'll be with you, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. At 12 years of age, I had to understand what I was about as well. I needed to know. See, I went onto the streets and people asked me questions, and I couldn't say, well, my dad says this. That just didn't carry any weight. You understand what I'm saying? So you're going to have to grow in God. You're going to have to start reading that book, the Bible. You're going to have to give them answers. You can't just look like a blonde and go, well, I heard it somewhere. You understand? I think the Bible says, maybe I heard someone once say, it's going to deserve a little bit more clout than that. But I want to tell you, God's got the goods for you tonight. He's not going to send you out into this world unskilled, without the armory, without the sword, without the knowledge, without the vision, without the power. He gives it all to you. But let's just repent first. I just want you to, just where you are, say, God, forgive me. Just ask him, forgive me. Forgive me. I've astonished for all the wrong reasons. Forgive me. Even under your breath, I don't want to have to hear it. I don't want to have to hear your mess tonight, you understand? But God wants to hear it. Whatever it is, it's pornography, so God, take it out of my life. It's drugs. Slipping out of the prayer meeting or the Sunday service and you're going into the pub, into the club. Are you sleeping with your boyfriend, your girlfriend? right now. I said, God, I put it right with you. Because that's the first step. Maybe there's some out there tonight and you've come into the service because a friend has invited you. I want to tell you, you're not here because a friend invited you. You are here because God Almighty wanted you in this meeting tonight. And today is the day that you lay down your pride and your own way, and you humble yourself and bring Jesus Christ in to be the Lord of your life. Today is your day. Today is the day when the Holy Spirit's going to come into your life and through your life going to administer the power of God to your community. And if you're here and you know it, I want you to leave your seat right now. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. Lift up your hands, church, towards these people here. These young men and women came forward without any music and nice soft songs and weepy choruses. They came forward because they want to get their lives right with Jesus Christ. And we must pray for them, because there's a devil out there who's going to try to drag them right back 30 seconds later. At this altar, there's men and women that if they truly have prayed that prayer of repentance, ask Christ in, God will give them the power to become the next Carter Conlon, David Wilkerson. They'll go into the communities. I'm telling you, they will astonish their friends. I'm telling you, you are going to amaze them for all the right reasons. For all the right reasons. Not the wrong ones now. All the right ones. In the name of the Yerabashibadadakara. Almighty God, mighty God. Now pray with me, church. Pray for them. Come on. Let's pray for these. These are our new soldiers coming out to work with us. Amen. To fight with us. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come forward. God's going to move up here. People are going to get filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not speaking in tongues, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, leave your seat. You can get this tonight if you want it. You can have this power before you leave. I'm telling you, you'll know the power in the name of Jesus tonight. Step out of your seat, a step of faith. That's what it is. And when you come up here, be ready to use your mouth, okay? God's not going to move your jaw up and down. The Bible says out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now you know the presence of God. You know the glory of God. Begin to speak in faith as the Holy Spirit comes on you. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for this altar tonight. Lord, we thank you for every young person, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, they will amaze this world, Lord God. They will astonish the people, Lord God, because Christ has been made Lord of all. God, anoint them, Lord God. Hear their cry tonight, Lord God. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Blow, Spirit, blow. Fill them with the glory of God tonight, Lord. God, use them miraculously, Lord. Use them in the gifts of the Spirit, O God. Give them words of knowledge, Lord. Give them courage, O God. Give them strength to stand, O God. When the whole world laughs, O God, and points the finger in passes understanding, O God. May they know the glory of God tonight. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to be about the business of the Father now. No more of our business anymore. We died at this altar today. And we're living for Jesus Christ. I buried a man last week, 60, 78 years old. And I was looking at him in the coffin. He was a sheriff in Rhodesia, in Zimbabwe. He moved back to Ireland. And I looked at him. He's all old and crumpled up and shriveled up and everything. But I was thinking to myself, man, he wasn't always old. There was a time when he was as young as, where he'd full of dreams and ambitions. And I began to think when Solomon spoke to the people, he said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. See, you've made the greatest decision you'll ever make tonight by walking with Christ. Because you ain't going to look back in your life with disappointment, carrying a baby when you shouldn't be carrying one. A sickness in your body. I'm telling you, you're going to be the ones that are going to be delivering people from sickness. Amen. And bringing hope, because you're about your Father's business. The greatest business you could ever be about. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so excited for you. You know that I really am. If you can get hold of this, keep hold of this in Christ, you're going to be preaching up here one day. You'll be preaching on the streets. You'll be preaching in the workplace. You'll be preaching in school. Oh man, they're not going to like you. There's an X in your back, but that's okay. God will give us the power.
Amen. Here am I. God bless you. Hallelujah.